Good morning, RCCC family. What a privilege we have to worship as God's family together every Sunday morning. First, I wish all the fathers Happy Father's Day. Besides our earthly fathers, we also have a Heavenly Father who is just, merciful, gracious, and worthy of our adoration and worship. Sometimes we as His children grieve Him when we cherish hidden sins in our hearts. Let us spend a minute or two to enter a time of confession before Him. May we examine ourselves and ask for His forgiveness before His throne of grace. Dear Father, have mercy on us according to your unfailing love. We thank you for the blood of Christ to blot out our transgressions and cleanse us from our sins. A broken and a contrite heart you will not despise. Create in us a pure heart and restore to us the joy of your salvation. Father, our hearts are heavy and we grieve over the loss of lives and social unrest in recent weeks. You grieve when your image bearers harbor any hatred against each other. You are God who cares deeply about justice. You command against the mistreatment of others, and you are against the unjust oppressors. We thank you that you are the Father of the fatherless, the widows, and the oppressed. During this time of pandemic and social unrest, we are reminded that nothing happens without your permission. The land is yours, people of all nations are yours. As we pause and reflect on everything that is happening around us, we are also reminded by your promise. You said, "If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and will heal their land." Yes, Father, as we call on your name, please come to heal this land and your people. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
This morning's scripture reading comes from Psalm 68, verses 5 to 6 from the English Standard Version. Father of the fatherless, protector of widows, is God in his holy habitation. God settles the solitary in a home. He leads out the prisoners to prosperity, but the rebellious dwell in a parched land. May God bless his holy word. Today is a special day. On this day, we remember and appreciate our earthly fathers, and I want to warmly wish our dads a happy Father's Day. So many of you, brothers, have worked hard and made sacrifices for your family. By God's grace, you provided well for your loved ones, and I trust you will be nicely rewarded with love and kindness today. Thank you for rising to the challenge of fatherhood for such a time as this. But as I recognize also that Father's Day might be full of humble pie, painful for both dads and children. Perhaps you are stuck in an unresolved conflict or have deep regrets. Maybe dad was too demanding or too busy or verbalized anger instead of love. Maybe dad was physically absent or emotionally distant, or now dad is terribly missed since he had died. May the Lord heal your pain. If it's not too late, may the Lord grant you grace to seek for reconciliation and restore your relationship. A large part of why I am passionate for teens and family is due to my dad securing love for me and for my brothers, and especially for my mom. Without a doubt, he adored mom and was devoted to mom. I can't imagine my life without my father. We had a close relationship. He held me in his arms on the day I was born, and I held him in my arms on the day that he died. Our fathers can shape our entire lives for better or for worse. God certainly has a design for earthly fathers. Love your children. Dads, you play a powerful role in the life of a child. Love them. Although today's message is celebrating God's fatherhood to the fatherless, it does not negate your role. Being loved by an earthly father is critically important. A father's love is often expressed by these four things: providing. A father provides for his family's needs, like food, home, clothing, and love. Protection. A father protects his family from harm, from pain, from danger, from intruders. He guards our heart and guards our life with safety. Presence. A father is unwaveringly committed to his family, spending quality and quantity time together. A father assures, "I am here. I will be here for you." Praise. A father affirms his family with praise. He takes great delight in his wife and children and encourages them to become the person God intended. There are many more ways to demonstrate love, but these are the basics, the necessary minimum. Children need fathers to do all four of these things, as provider, protector, present, and praise. Otherwise, their love tank is less than full, and something feels incomplete. Now let me tell you about Stephen. A month after I planted my first youth ministry, a mom brought in her junior high kids, Stephen and his sister. It was their first time in church ever. Their father had died from cancer, and they were coping with their new normal. They were left fatherless. It was a hard time, an empty time for them. Our handful of teens were committed to reach the most unreached, unchurched kids, so our outreach events were a bit creative and less conventional, such as our semi-formal ballroom dance lesson outreach. I invited him. "Stephen, did you know that in Psalm 30, verse 11 says, 'You turned my mourning into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness.'" Now, Stephen, maybe this is God's time to give you a new joy. Would you please join us? Just put on a shirt and a tie. I'd love to see you there. So he agreed. When the day came, I overheard that Stephen and his sister were not coming. What more could I do? Well, I drove my car to their house to pick them up. He was embarrassed. He said, "I want to come, but I don't know how to tie my tie. My mom can't do it, and I have no one to help me." Wow, for the first time, I felt the weight upon this 13-year-old boy. This was the first of many moments in life he would miss the most important man in his life. In the final year of chemo and treatments, Dad didn't get a chance to show his son this important life skill, this simple life skill, before he had died. That day, I taught Stephen the half Windsor knot. And after the outreach, Stephen felt connected. The boys banded with him like brothers. Another church dad took him under his wings until he finished college. He and his sister experienced God's love, came to trust in Christ, and I was told, received baptism a few years later. There are many Stephens, here, there, everywhere, who are growing up fatherless. His dad didn't abandon him. I'm sure his dad would have given everything to be there for his kids. But unfortunately, for many children in the world, fathers are not always present in the home. In fact, some fathers are not present for their entire life. But the Lord does not forget the fatherless. God is not a father. He is the Father. God is not only the Father, He is my Father and your Father. He is our Heavenly Father, who lavishes His great love upon us, that we should be called the children of God. When we all have a vertical relationship with our Heavenly Father, from God's perspective, the implication is this, that we also have a horizontal connection as siblings. If our Father places special concern on the most at risk and the most vulnerable, how can we not as well? Every father is pleased when his children, all his children, love each other and help each other. In our scripture today, Psalm 68 opens with a picture of the Lord arising that causes his enemies to scatter and his flees to foe, his foes to flee. Verse 1 closely reflects the event in Numbers 10:35. In the Exodus and wilderness, because God was with the Israelites, the enemies would scatter and flee. You see, Moses witnessed God's presence and protection with the Ark of the Covenant. When the Ark was on the move, God was on the move. Psalm 68, a song of David, is a triumphant celebration, a jubilant rejoicing that God is victorious over his enemies. And most commentators believe that Psalm 68 is connected with the occasion when the Ark of the Covenant was brought into Jerusalem in 2 Samuel 6. Probably celebrating that event as well as celebrating the faithfulness of God, the faithfulness of God to give Israel victory over the enemies and to make Jerusalem secure enough to bring the Ark into the city. When the Lord arises, the enemies scatter and flee. They sang with a mighty voice, shouting with confidence, marching on deliberately. It boosted their confidence that God was with them. God is still protecting their nation, not only with battle strength, but also they saw that God cared for them in such a compassionate way. In verses 5 and 6, God's presence and protection is directed toward the most helpless, the poorest, the neediest individuals. God is the Father of the fatherless and defender of the widows. The all-powerful God has deep concern for the least powerful in society. They lack influence and affluence. They lack health and wealth. They lack ability and mobility. Among them are the orphans without a father, the widows without a husband, the solitary without a home or family to belong to. He reinstated the released prisoners to life again, but he leaves behind the rebellious, I sense, for their lack of remorse. God is in his holy habitation, not referring to the earthly dwelling place of his temple or the tabernacle, but rather from his holy seat in the highest heaven, where his grace and mercy come down, and his protection and his defense covers over the most needy and oppressed. God has a special compassion for the fatherless, the widows, the displaced, the poor, the homeless. I sense his compassion would also extend to the physically handicapped, the mentally disabled, the abuse victims, and others in dire straits. Now, we have a problem. Houston, we have a problem. A serious problem that needs serious solutions. Failure is not an option. There is a serious father absence crisis in America. And this problem indeed harms children. According to the U.S. Census Bureau, 19.7 million children live without a father in the home. That's more than one out of four. According to the CDC, on average, children born in 2010 will spend 49% of their childhood without a father in the home. How has this father absence crisis translated into problems faced in society? Well, here are some sobering statistics how the fatherless are affected. The fatherless have 4 times greater risk of poverty, are 7 times more likely to get pregnant as a teen, 2 times more likely to drop out of school. Now, 71% of high school dropouts are indeed fatherless. They are 2 times more likely to commit suicide, 2 times at greater risk for infant mortality. They are significantly more likely to face abuse and neglect. They are more likely to go to prison, more likely to abuse drugs and alcohol. They are more likely to struggle with behavioral and emotional problems. Our world and our country are facing a serious daddy problem, a fatherless dilemma. In many problems in society, fatherlessness can be uncovered as a root cause, a root issue. As we pray and engage to explore solutions for true social justice and reforms, the statistics on the fatherless outcomes begs our attention. Undeniably, children need fathers and good men in their homes and in their lives. If dad is absent, who will stand in the gap? The first volunteer is our Heavenly Father. He is the Father of the fatherless, but also He is the Father of all His children. We have assurance from the promises in Scripture. Who will provide for you if dad is absent? Who will feed and clothe you? Do not worry. Your Father in heaven knows your needs and will provide for you. Matthew 6:26, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Deuteronomy 10:18, he defends the cause of the fatherless and the widow, and loves the alien, giving him food and clothing. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus, from Philippians. Who will protect you if dad is absent? The Lord will keep you from harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore, from Psalm 121:7-8. Psalm 82 says, defend the cause of the weak and fatherless. Maintain the rights of the poor and oppressed. And then in Psalm 91, the Lord is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. And he promises, I will rescue him. I will protect him. For he acknowledges my name. He will call on me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Who will be present if Dad is absent. Our Father in heaven is faithful. He promises in Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He will never abandon his children. When you are alone, the Lord promises in John 14:18, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Who will give praise if Dad is absent? Zephaniah wrote that our Father in heaven will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing. The Lord made you and knows you. He loved you first. He loves you more without you having to earn it. He praises you. You are precious in my eyes, according to Isaiah 43. Even Jesus experienced the Father's delight immediately after his baptism. A voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." Before I close this morning, my heart is heavy for the multitude of fatherless. How do so many children end up without fathers? How will you now respond with compassion? The Lord is doing his part, but what does he require of us as his church? I believe the Lord is challenging us to expand our heart for the fatherless. Not just because there is a huge problem out there, although there is. The Lord cannot be more clear throughout the Old Testament and New Testament of his commitment to be our Father, and for men of God to do the same. It cannot be more clear than this from James chapter 1, verse 27. Religion that God, our Father, accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after the orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Our Christian testimony, our church theology, our corporate religiosity, and our personal faith is validated by God as pure and real if we obey, in part, to look after the fatherless and widows in distress. I don't think we have a choice about caring for the fatherless. The choice is not whether to do it or not. The choice is how to do it, where to do it, and how much to do it. So may I offer a few possible ways you can respond? Number one, if you have the privilege of being a dad, and you know you love your kids, but somehow you have fallen short, I urge you to step it up. Be the man in their life. Don't abandon your calling as a father. Build them up to be strong and loving people and bless them with significance. The Lord would be so pleased if you would give your best towards your family. Secondly, take a Stephen under your wings. Right here in our church, there may be a few Stephens who lost their dads and need a good man in his life. Are you willing to stand in the gap, to be a surrogate dad or a big brother in this positive, supportive, appropriate relationship? I have noticed RCCC, this church, my church, is blessed with so many wonderful brothers among young men and also mature men. You are caring, kind, capable, humble, and generous. So be a game changer in the life of a young person and for their faith journey. Number three, you can volunteer with Big Brother or a youth mentoring program in the community. There are reputable community options nearby, and usually they are not affiliated with our Christian mission, yet they are great ways to help reach unchurched kids who may discover by what you do, by your relationship, they may discover the love of God for them. A fourth way, support a global orphan through a Christian sponsorship agency like Compassion International or World Vision or CASA Mission. Teens, adults, and families can sponsor a child to provide monthly support and write letters to encourage a needy child abroad. But quite a few are orphans. Many years ago, three of my ninth graders, Tim, and Alan, teamed up together to sponsor a compassion child in Africa. They fasted one school lunch each week to pray for their son and use that lunch money to support the child with food, clothing, medicine, and school supplies. They continued supporting and writing monthly letters until their son was grown. Tim, and Alan loved telling others that they were teenage dads. Indeed, they were great dads. A fifth and final response option. And this is for some of you personally. You may be here today, and Father's Day is a difficult and empty day. You need the love of our Heavenly Father to heal you and restore you. Perhaps you have never known your Heavenly Father, and today you would like to begin a relationship with the Lord. Perhaps you just need someone to pray for you. If you would like some spiritual help or prayer, or you'd like to place your hope in Jesus Christ, please reach out to me or other pastors and leaders for assistance. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, our Father, we are delighted to be called your children. It is so good to be loved by you. Thank you for being our provider, our protector, for being always present and encouraging us with praise. Thank you for reminding us of your compassion for the fatherless, the widows, and the most vulnerable. We thank you for giving us your Son, Jesus Christ, to provide the forgiveness of our sins and the hope of eternity. Lord, bless my brothers so that they may be a blessing to others for your glory's sake. Help them to be the best dads ever. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, amen.